and as best as we have the opportunity to do so. Thank you for being here. But with great privilege and honor, I want to present to you a woman who is called of God. I love her dearly, and most of you, if not all of you, know that. I love her very dearly. She's my lovely wife. And both being called of the Lord, something came out during the questions and answers, and that was that husbands and wives don't compete with each other, especially with careers and all. And we don't compete with each other. We complement one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we're just thankful. Our lives are committed to the Lord to do his will, to do his work. And if there was ever an advocate for the will of God being done in the earth, it is this great woman of God. Hallelujah. She's a spiritual mom to many. She is a prophetess. I'll call her prophet. We sometimes get not mixed up with those terms, but we use them loosely because if it's a man, it's a prophet. If it's a woman, it's a prophetess. But in the body of Christ, it's neither male nor female. So she's anointed for this hour. She's a loving mother. We have four children. We have how many? 11 grandchildren. And that number probably will increase in the years that go by. And we just love each other to life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So welcome with me, the woman of God, prophet, pastor, Lucia Samalu Siaki Killings. Amen.
Glory. Glory. Bless the Lord. I'm just right now emotional inside. I'm going to try and not allow that to come out and interfere with what I believe God has given to me to give unto you. Because you didn't come here to see me cry all over the place, snot. You came to hear a word. Amen. And so, if I may, everything that has gone forth today, it was to minister to those God has sent here. But I'm asking all of you, don't leave the way you came this morning. Leave with more of Him. Leave with a greater understanding that how you thought, how you felt, and what you're going through, that it's already changed before this service is over. And so with everything that has gone forth thus far, you have to respond, again I say, to the voice that is within the voice. Amen? And I'm not going to be long. It is 2:49. But I need to give you what I believe God gave me by His Spirit as I was consecrating until today. And then once I deliver that word, God the Holy Ghost had instructed me, that apostle and pastor, that we are going to anoint every one of you that so desires to receive the oil of gladness, because some of you need to get your joy back. You're just surviving. And so by faith, throughout this whole conference, I pray that God took you to a different platform, and that now as I'm standing before you, you're on the fast lane, and you're ready to move everything out of your way, because nothing, there's a determination within you that nothing is going to stop you from receiving what God has for you. Amen? Amen? You may take your seat. It's been a glorious preparation, I should say that. And I do thank wholeheartedly. I will share this. It's something private for me. And she didn't know this until today. That's why if it seems like I'm just rushing through, I am not. Excuse me. I just want to make sure that I don't stand before you and waste your time watching me bawl because of what God is doing in this house. the hearts that he has touched so far, the woman of God that brought the message, the venue of the Q&A, and how God the Holy Ghost was able to minister to some of you concerning the way the questions were answered. And so I shared with Pastor today, Pastor Sonia. We were talking about something, and then she asked me, you know, I hope you believe that. I hope you trust me. I hope you know my heart. And I said to her, I said, I saw your heart when you bent down and put on my, what was it? Chaps. When she bent down, you know how bike riders, motorcycle riders, they wear those leather chaps. And, you know, there are some that there's a button all the way from up here. Oh, she got my heart when Apostle and I rode on the Harley to Modesto. And when Apostle and I were to leave, she bent down and buttoned my chaps all the way up. And that day, my heart was pricked. And I shared it with Apostle when we came home, that's a true woman of God. She has the heart to serve. She loves God. So I say all of this to say to you, don't overlook the little things that people are doing for you because you're expecting the big. Because you might miss the big while the little is trying to cause you to graduate to be thankful for the little. Because if you're not thankful for the little, you won't graduate to the big. That was big with me, though it seemed small. But when she went down, I'm like, my God and King. And so it's rare that you will find women pastors that will look beyond themselves to give up themselves so that you can be blessed and continue to pursue your walk in Christ. And so the Brew Street Conference, we've been marinating it. Apostle and I have been fasting, declaring, decreeing. The workers have been believing, excited for everything that has happened today. For me personally, it has superseded what I saw. And everything that Dad revealed to me while I was in the chambers, it has come to pass. And so that's all that I wanted, is to make sure that we followed the blueprint that God designed for this meeting. It was very important that we followed the blueprint that God designed for this meeting. And so for us, He gave three things. He spoke three things of the conditions of the people and where they're at this conference. He didn't say at the church down the street. He didn't say at the church behind us. He's saying for those that are coming to this conference. And so one of the words is you need, for some of you, you're no longer having visions and dreams the way you used to. It seems like the visions and dreams have diminished or decreased. And so he's saying you need to reactivate the visions and dreams, because to some degree that is a foresight. Or he's revealing to you something that is going to happen or something that has happened. And so he reveals through visions and dreams as well. And so he's saying some of you need to reactivate the visions and dreams that have become dormant due to the current situations or the perils of life that has come towards your direction. that things have happened to you that you're now more acclimated to what you're going through than waiting on God, waiting on him to reveal himself to you, waiting on him. You're no longer giving God that time. You're always in a rush because you feel you got to get so much done in a day. So you have replaced your time with God with that which you need to take care of on a daily basis. So you basically have robbed yourself from God speaking to you because you have turned and now are busy taking care of worldly things while you're still here on earth. Does that make sense? And so God says he wants to reactivate that. And I believe that that activation is going to come by the laying on of hands. Some of you are dealing with grieving still with the death of a loved one. Some of you are still coping with death, physical death, the departure of someone physically that has passed away that you know. And so God, the Holy Ghost, says you're still grieving or dealing with the death or the demise of that loved one. You have coped with it. You're still going on with life, but you're not dealing with it the way you should with God. Because as a child of God, as a true child of God, we look at death as transitioning into glory. We look at death, the departure, the absence of a loved one. That means they have been promoted into glory. They're now absent from the earth and present with God. But we still have difficulty dealing with or coping. We're still grieving with death. Though it is a part of life, it is not discussed at home regularly. It is not shared at home because to some degree we don't want to talk about death, you know, because we're going to get raptured. We're going to get caught up. What we're going to get translated, that Enoch, whatever it might be. But death should not be a word that we run from. Death should be one of the words that we are prepared for and rejoice when it does come knocking on our door. Amen? We're going to believe the best depending on how that person's going to transition over. But if the person transitions over, we still rejoice. We still celebrate that we had an opportunity to be with that person. Amen? I asked the Holy Ghost, I have learned that I will never question him again. Even though it seems out of context, I said, okay, if you say you're going to insert death there, I'm going to speak it. And so he's trying to comfort you that the loved one you are grieving over, they're in a better place. That you don't have to long for them the way you do. You know, there's memories, there's reflections, but he's with the Lord. He is in a better place. He or she is in a better place. And you need to go on. You need to live. You need to build your walk in Christ and just enjoy while you're yet still alive in that physical body. Amen? Its silent appearance devastates so many when it becomes unbearable, where it becomes unbearable. The other word that was given is that we have become settled. We have become settled in our walk. We have become settled in our current situation. We have become settled in the condition or state that we have taken residence in that particular situation that we have been confronted with or going with through right now. And so it's vitally important that if this is you, and out of these three, God is speaking to you, then respond to the word that best fits you right now. and allow God to minister to your spirit and to your soul so that you can grow. Amen? And so one of the words that was given to me, Pastor Sonia already spoke on, is Luke 13. Of course, Luke 13 deals with the woman who was demonically oppressed by the spirit of infirmity. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. Where was he? Where was he? Where was he? So Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And he glanced over and he looked and said, called to her. He looked over at her and called her. Come to me. He looked over and called her. He called her. Come to me. Because here he is teaching in the synagogue, as it was spoken earlier, ought not this woman be loosed from her infirmity? In other words, in the church setting, certain healings, miracles, signs and wonders take place in the house of God, where his presence dwells, where the glory falls, where the Spirit of God is free to meet his people. She sits there 18 years in the synagogue. Here's the word of God. Men and men teaching every day for 18 years, yet no one recognized her, that she was bent over by an infirmity. And God says, that's how you are. You attend church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You're bent over, but nobody recognizes that you're bent over. You're bruised, but nobody recognizes that you're bruised. You're hurting, but nobody recognizes that you're hurting. You're broken, but nobody recognizes that you're broken. And God says, I called her. Come to me. God is saying, hear my voice. I'm calling you. Come to me. You don't have to be in that situation. Come to me. Respond to my voice. There's been an infirmity in your life that you've been battling with. And today is the day that he wants to make you straight. Stand up! Because she has been bent over and couldn't stand for 18 years. But how appropriate of God to look over at one of his and tell her she is made whole, and then touched her. For some of you, the word has to come forth first. You're expecting a touch, but God has to get your attention. He's trying to call you. He's trying to get your attention, but you haven't responded to the call. He's been calling you so he can touch you so that you can stand up. You've been bent over too long. And so with that passage, there's so much that he wants to do for you. The woman with the spirit of infirmity in the synagogue on the Sabbath. How many churches are filled on Sunday, and then yet there are still people bent over, sick, oppressed, thinking about suicide, depressed, angry, bitter, and still going to church, but church after church, but has not gotten better. For some of you, the devil has had you bound, bent over for many years. Jesus is calling you to come to him. My God and King, in the church. I'm praying. I know that apostle and pastor has a passion for the body to be loosed from the infirmities. I do know that because I do know their heart. And we stand here and we encourage you today, receive the word of the Lord that has gone forth every day. The spirit of suicide is from the kingdom of hell. The spirit of suicide is released by Satan. Satan is real. He was cast out of heaven. Satan hates God so much. My God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, Satan hates God so much, he will play with you. He will dangle everything. If you are weak, he will, oh, okay, I will bite that. And there you go. The spirit of suicide is nothing to play with. Satan is real. Okay, I want to go commit suicide. Okay. Satan has launched that attack on you. Satan, death comes. Jesus, life comes. Choose. You got to choose. We can't choose for you. You got to choose. And God gives you life. Ha. Woman at the well. The woman at the well. You know, Jesus was on his journey and he was tired. He was tired and so he took a rest next to the well. And it was about 12 noon. Excuse me, I am burning up. Oh, really? We can't tell. I've been burning up. And I can't get enough AC. I can't get enough fan. Even my hair is hot. That's how hot I am. So I apologize for this, but the woman at the well. So twice in the day, we are supposed to go and fetch water at the well. Twice. In the morning and in the evening. However, Jesus was tired. So he said, okay, I'll just rest down by this well. And so then here comes this woman, a Samaritan woman, to draw water from the well at 12 o'clock. Are you hearing me? How many times do they draw water? When? But when did this woman go? 12 o'clock. God likes to change your order around, doesn't he? You get things all planned up, but then God will just come and change your order around. You know, because we get stuck and we'll make idols out of something, because then we'll, like, believe in our own self and our own strength. So he's resting there. The woman comes, and they have this conversation. And, of course, he's talking about the water, and then she's asking questions. And then she says one thing, oh, you must be a prophet. And we have to recognize, here I go, you have to recognize the fivefold ministering gifts that are now in operation in the church of the living God. You have to recognize an apostle. You have to recognize a prophet. You have to recognize a pastor. You have to recognize the teacher. You have to recognize the evangelist. And so it's vitally important, because in order for you to get blessed from those gifts, you have to recognize the gift that is before you. And so she was saying, oh, he must be a prophet. And then, of course, they have this dialogue going forward at 16. Go get your husband. Jesus knows that the one she was with was not her husband. So 16 said, go get your husband. She says, I have not a husband. And then he says, you are so honest. It's what I like about you. You are telling the truth. You have had five. And the one you're currently with, six, is not yours. No, wait, it's not about that. That's the mercy of God. That woman, throughout all her years, was looking for something to satisfy her. And she thought it was in a man. She had five husbands. There was a void. There was an emptiness in her. In order for her to have five, and the one that she's currently with is not her husband. And so God speaks to her and then sends her on an evangelistic ministry. And God is saying, how appropriate for me to rest right here, because she came to drink water and all the husbands she has, they weren't satisfactory. They passed on, and the one she's with, she was trying to fill a void that no man can give her. And he was trying to get her eyes off of something to get her focused on him. And all the while he's trying to, like, have her focus on him, she was trying to say all these other things, because to her, oh, man, I've been exposed. So while she was being exposed, she was trying to bring up another filler. So when God speaks to you, don't ever put up a curtain, because it's God. He knows where he's at. He did not condemn her for the five or the six. He did not condemn her for that. He did not judge her. He just said what he said to her for her to go back and evangelize the province where she was at. And so no matter where you're at, you're looking for love in the wrong places. Man will not satisfy it. A wife will not satisfy it. A husband will not. Your satisfaction, that emptiness, that void, only God can fill. And God says she's been trying to fill something with all of those men. It didn't happen until she met him at 12 o'clock. How good of God to rearrange the schedule and knew that she was going to go there, not in the evening dwelling, not in the morning, but right at 12 o'clock. And God is saying, continue to seek after me. I will be there. He says, you continue to seek me. You continue to seek me. You continue to seek me. Amen? And so with all that's going on, she needed that well. There's some of us that we need that well. The wells of living water that will spring forth according to John chapter 7, verse 37 and 8. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. I will not go in with the woman with the issue of blood. What I want to do right now, because I believe you've got a lot today. I think you're overflowing with the teachings. You're overflowing with the word. You're overflowing with what God wants to do for you. Now it's your part. You have to respond to what he wants to do to seal that which has already spoken of in your life. Amen? And so now I'm going to take this opportunity. For those of you, we're going to lay hands on you. For those of you who would like to be anointed or need prayer, you may come on up, and we are just going to go down the line and just release the blessing and pray for you.
Probably need those when she comes around. Stand to your feet, everyone. We want to thank you for attending the Bruise Reed Conference 2018. Thank you for being here. We want to thank our guest speaker, Pastor Sonia Walton, her son Josh, and forgive me because I won't remember everybody else's name, but tell me your name. I'm coming over.
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Daniel.
Daniel.
Desiree.
Can't forget that name, Desiree. That's daughter-in-law. Praise God. All right. We're so blessed to have you all. Thank you for staying. How you doing, Keith? Brother Keith, you okay? I looked over and you went down under the power. Praise God. Yeah, he's worthy to be praised. Yeah. We can talk more after or something the next time I see you, but that was awesome. Yeah, when God gets a hold of you. So we want to thank each and every one of you for being here. We pray that you've been blessed. And if you have, share with somebody else what the Lord has done for you. Don't just keep it to yourself. The word that was given, Minister Patton, did we record today? We did record? Okay, so it was live stream and it'll be on podcast after service. Make sure you go over that again because you'll be amazed at how much you missed when you hear it again and again and again and again. And guess what happens? Faith cometh by? Yeah, and hearing by? So when you hear it again and again and again and again, you want to grow and increase in faith, just keep listening to that word. No minister to you. Cause you to grow stronger in your faith towards God. Hallelujah. So we want to dismiss, release. We've already laid hands and blessed on those who have desired to receive, and we pray that you did receive, and what you did receive, you won't let go. Hallelujah. You'll continue to walk in it, work it out, till God does something else, and you'll build upon that and keep building, because we keep growing and growing and growing. We go from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength in the kingdom. Amen. Lift your hands for the blessing. Father, we thank you for this great and glorious day. We thank you for everyone that attended, those that were here earlier, as well as those who have stayed until the end. We give you all the glory and honor and praise for everything that you've done. And now as we leave this place, we pray that Aaronic prayer that the Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you'll triumph over the gates of hell because you are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and ground of truth. You are the foundation, mainstay, prop, and the support of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, guide you with his eye. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees, say amen. Amen. All right, greet your neighbor next to you. Tell them they wouldn't have been the same without you. And enjoy the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.